There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We're talking Islamic finance now on the Business Breakfast. Mohammed Damak is Global Head of Islamic Finance at S&P Global Ratings, and he's with us in the studio. Mohammed, good morning. Great to have you with us. Thanks very much indeed.
Morning, and thanks for having me.
Let's begin with Brexit and the impact that that's going to have on the Islamic finance industry, and in particular, Islamic banks operating in the United Kingdom. They face a challenge from Brexit. What is that?
They do, and I think the impact would be significant on the five Islamic banks operating in the UK. Our economists project a drop in the GDP of the UK by around 2.9%, an increase in unemployment to 7.3%, and a cumulative drop in real estate price by about 9.5%. Now, if you look at the structure of the balance sheet of the Islamic banks in the UK, around 70% of their business is real estate financing.
70% is real estate financing?
Absolutely. So the impact would be significant. The impact would be on the asset quality of the banks. And we started to see some deterioration in asset quality. The impact would also be on the profitability of the Islamic banks operating in the UK. And if you look at the profitability, by the way, it's not that great. Return on asset is around 0.5%, and that's because of the low efficiency of these banks. Now, the positive thing is that if you look at the funding profile of the Islamic banks in the UK, it's mostly dominated by deposits, which means that even if there is a disruption in the wholesale funding market, this would not have an impact on them.
Okay, fine. That's the Islamic banks in the United Kingdom, the impact on Brexit. Let me ask you a similar question about the Islamic banks here, because you say that the massive exposure to real estate, we know Sharia-compliant financiers love asset-backed finance, they love real estate. Here in the UAE, we've had real estate prices come down by anywhere between 10 and 20, 25% over the past 3 or 4 years. What impact has that had on the Islamic banks here, the likes of Dubai Islamic Bank, Adib, and others?
I think the impact was negative on the asset quality indicators of these Islamic banks. And by the way, it's the same even for conventional banks. Real estate is an important component of the business of the banks in this region.
But to take a step back, you say that for British Islamic banks, real estate is 70% of what they do. What would that figure be for the local
guys? Much lower.
It's much lower. Okay.
It's much lower. It's around 20-ish percent of total loans.
When we started doing the Business Breakfast about sort of 14 years ago or so, we were talking about sukuks almost every other day, really. There was a lot of issues, and we knew at that stage that Malaysia was driving the industry forward. Most of the sort of regulatory authorities seemed to be in Bahrain, and we thought of it, Malaysia leading the market, Bahrain second. It was a very small business here in the UAE. What's the picture nowadays? Is Malaysia still driving the Islamic industry forward?
Malaysia and Indonesia together account for more than 50% of the sukuk that were issued last year. But this part of the world has started to play a bigger role. I think we saw in 2017, for example, a significant increase in sukuk issuance in the GCC, driven primarily by Saudi Arabia. And last year, in 2018, what saved the market in terms of issuance of sukuk was the Central Bank of Kuwait, which started to issue sukuk as liquidity management instrument for its Islamic banks, and also private sector issuers for in the UAE, where we saw a significant increase in the volume of issuance.
Am I right to though think of Bahrain as still as a sort of the capital of Islamic finance in the Gulf, despite Dubai's best efforts, simply because they've got an Islamic rating agency, they've got various other Islamic bodies?
They got also the AOIF, which is the Accounting and Auditing Organization for Islamic Financial Institution. But here in Dubai, we have the Dubai Islamic Economy Development Center, which has been driving the Islamic finance agenda of Dubai. And now the authorities in the UAE are trying to develop a local currency sukuk market, which I think would be a game changer for the sukuk market if it were to be developed effectively.
So where would you say is now the Islamic finance capital of the Middle East?
I think it would be somewhere in the GCC.
Alain, definitely.
Diplomatic.
Dibbers, pretty Alain. Let's talk about some of the other issues. Let's talk about retail Islamic finance. And again, looking back 10 years ago on the Business Breakfast, we would be talking, and we were talking, about how the big international banks were really investing heavily in Sharia-compliant finance. They saw a market of 1.5 billion Muslims worldwide, and they wanted to target that market. And one of the leaders at the time was HSBC with their Amana product. But then, a few years ago, they dialed back that HSBC retail Amana Sharia-compliant finance business here in the Middle East. Where do we stand now on a retail level, Mohammed?
On a retail level, I think there was a drop in the growth of the retail business, retail and corporate business, by the way, for the Islamic banks and the GCC. And globally, I think a few years ago, we were talking about a double-digit growth of the industry. Now, the growth is more mid-single digit, and that's because the industry is concentrated in countries that happen to be oil exporter. And with the drop in oil price from the triple digit to now, our base case scenario for 2019 is an average of 55, and the ensuing drop of the economic growth, there were lower opportunities to grow in the retail space.
I suppose to get real liquidity, there needs to be a crossover, non-Muslims investing in Islamic finance. Has that started to happen yet?
We saw some issuance of sukuk from non-Muslim jurisdictions. We saw the UK tapping the sukuk market, but it still remains embryonic. And one of the reasons why we are not seeing a lot more issuers tapping the market more aggressively, it's because of the complexity related to sukuk issuance. Now, if you look at the process of sukuk issuance compared to the process of issuing a conventional bond, it's much more complex, especially for people that are newcomers to Islamic finance. You need to adapt your local regulatory environment. You need to find an underlying asset. You need to find the best structure. You need to speak with lawyers, Sharia scholars, etc., and then eventually come to see us as a rating agency and then tap the market. And that process, if you're lucky or if you're a frequent issuer, could take you a few weeks. But if you are unlucky or if you are new to the industry, it could take you a few years. The UK announced its sukuk in 2008 and ended up tapping the market only in 2014.
Mohammed, we'll have to leave it there. Fascinating discussion. Appreciate your time. Mohammed Damak is the global head of Islamic finance at S&P Global Ratings. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.